I wonder if those two gay clubs are still there off Bourbon. Because we're going this year.
We could go there if you you would like.
I'm going to do a shit ton of sit-ups. I'm going with a six-pack and a cock sock like that one dude had. That's a true story.
Well, that it is. That it is.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That would be the fate if if Stunt Granny does convene down in New Orleans for WrestleMania 34. I would have to say that my plan is to do so because New Orleans is awesome.
Yeah, that.
That's pretty much the long and the short story of that. You don't really need to convince me a whole lot to go to New Orleans.
Oh no, as soon as they announced it, I was like, oh yeah, we're going back. And that's why we're going to stay a little bit longer just to see some other stuff for a change.
Yeah, well, this is Kevin DeFrango. That is Jeremy Mays.
Hey.
The other one who wasn't in New Orleans the last time, Chris Calamita. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself? How about both of you?
I'm doing good now that I've got some rest after staying up for WrestleMania so long. And then last night till 11:15, whatever it was.
Well, I'll tell you, I was under the impression, or I shouldn't say under the impression, I thought that we would do The Walking Dead right up today, so I stayed up until WrestleMania time last night to finish off The Walking Dead, and when you told me you hadn't watched it yet, I'm like,
God,
son of a bitch.
Well, I've watched it now, but the wife still hasn't, so I can't really talk about it right now. So
yeah, man, I remember the days of about 2 or 3 months ago when you couldn't watch a Walking Dead episode on delay because people would screw it up. But no, not so much anymore.
Oh no, she actually had something spoiled when she was rolling through her Facebook, even though I told her to stay off of that stuff. But
I see nothing anymore. So none of the people I follow seem to be all up in it anymore.
Well, I thought it was enjoyable. I know some people didn't like it. But if you expected everything to get wrapped up in that last episode, you're an idiot. So
right, no.
But, so anyways.
Yeah.
As I'm getting dirty looks, like, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say anything. But, since we may or most likely will not be part of the idiotic crowd that is at Raw and SmackDown. Well, actually, I felt like the SmackDown crowd was so tired of the WWE being in Orlando that they were kind of tapped.
I feel like a lot more locals got into SmackDown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good for the locals.
Yeah, I thought that's how it started. I thought that's how it started at first. I've had my finger over it. That's what I thought. That's how I thought it started when they introduced Randy Orton tonight. And then I realized it's just Randy Orton, so why are you going to get excited about that? And then Bray Wyatt comes out, they cheered a little bit louder. But when they introduced Nakamura, when they introduced Ty Dillinger, they were pretty on the spot. Because as soon as Hawkins said you got to the count of 10, everyone went crazy. And then, especially with Nakamura, that was another thing. But yeah, they weren't the dickhead crowds that Raw got. So
No. They were a pretty subdued crowd. They reacted well to most of the things you would expect them to react well to. They got a little antsy during the women's title match. You saw that beach ball in the background and just started getting your blood pressure spiked up again, just like last night. That was confiscated quickly. They got over it.
How the hell are people getting a beach ball in? I understand it's not a gun, mind you. But the rules very clearly state you can't bring that stuff in. So, I mean, if you have... It's empty your pocket, do this, and they wand you, and I guess since it's plastic, it gets through, so you're just carrying it in your shorts or something? And
yeah.
The security staff should just be fired. That's what I'm getting at. So, all the minimum wage security people fired. They're ruining our entertainment experience. Jerk offs. I don't know. So let's just reset. So in case you can't figure it out, we had to edit something there. So how about we just back all the way up to Raw? So for those of you who have been listening, yes, we're starting the show over. Hi, I'm Jeremy. I'm here with Chris and Kevin. This is Stunker in the Audio 402, or is this 401?
402.
There you go. So.
Yep. Well, we did start. We were talking about Curt Hawkins introducing Ty Dillinger and the crowds not on SmackDown probably being more locals because they weren't the idiots that were on Raw.
Oh yeah, I was complaining about the security people.
To fire all the security staff for letting it be. Involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw last night. Apparently, some other wrestling podcast actually are the guys that destroyed the beach ball that was bouncing around last night. I don't know. I can't remember who it was, or I would give them credit for it because they did God's work. So, no, I didn't think the crowd last night on Raw was that horrible. Outside of that segment, it wasn't great, mind you, but that crowd being so hot for Roman Reigns made Roman Reigns last night.
Oh yeah. Oh, they don't even realize they're so stupid. They didn't even realize what they've done. Yeah, that was the most heat anyone's gotten in what, decades?
It's been a really long time since someone's gotten that much heat.
And it was like Vince in 98.
I mean, it was it was something. It was a unique. It was the most unique opening to a show ever. I mean, they played those idiots played into their hands so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's fueled. Rain, oh, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Reigns even points it out. He's like, he holds up the palm of his hand and points at it. I'm like, he's telling you exactly what he's doing, and you're still booing like crazy. Like, I can't tell you what level of stupid this is.
Here's a tip: if you want to take a stand against the company, don't pay them thousands and thousands of dollars over the course of 3 days or 4 days.
Yeah, or give to the whatever local economy that they will clearly take credit for bringing in as well. I mean, the best thing to do with, all right, so WWE's stance now is, with Roman Reigns, is Triple H said, isn't he already a heel? He gets the worst reaction, and he gets a reaction, and then I was listening to Roman on Jericho, and they said something about, well, I'm getting, like, as long as they're reacting. It was just the same bullshit they gave us with John Cena. And the thing is, if you want it to stop, just stop reacting to him. Just go silent. Just be like, oh, it's this guy. Go to the bathroom. Like, I've been saying this kind of stuff for years. This is nothing new. If you don't like somebody, don't react, and then they go away. Because there's no palpable measure with no pay-per-view buys anymore. There's nothing to tell. Or ratings don't really matter, it doesn't seem. So, I mean, not yet. Not until the TV contract comes up. But if you don't like him, just be quiet. There's nothing worse than him trying to get some sort of heat, and you're just sitting there giving him crickets in return.
Yeah.
But that's not
what it is, though.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's their own need to be part of the show.
And yeah, even if it isn't going to be that level of nuclear everywhere else for Reigns, he's still getting his bigger reaction is anyone else.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be worse now. He retired the Undertaker with a loss. There's no going back now. He is going to be booed boisterously everywhere he goes now. I mean, maybe in the house shows with a bunch of families. Who knows? But on Raw and on pay-per-views. Oh yeah, it's gonna get a louder negative reaction.
Well, aren't they going to be overseas next week? Is that next week? Next 2 weeks?
Or 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks.
So I think that's solid for 2 weeks at least. But I'll be real curious about when they get back in front of your standard local audience. I'll be real curious to see how people treat him. Like Kevin said, it's not going to be nuclear the way it was then. I expect him to get booze like usual, but I don't know if it's going to be the same heightened, response he got Monday.
Well, and I guess I'll have to find out. I still haven't bought a ticket, but there is a Raw here in Columbus on the 17th.
Of April?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it'd be right after. If they're going for 2 weeks, it'd be right after that 2 weeks.
There is one last card to play that could get Roman Reigns cheered by proxy, at least for a short term. Move Dean Ambrose over to Raw. Reunite the Shield.
That wasn't like silence because I wasn't listening. That was just silence. Like, why would they do that? I think that'd be the first thing. Like, is that like move Dean Ambrose and reunite the Shield just to get people to cheer Roman Reigns? Or to just do something different?
All of the above. To get people to cheer Roman Reigns, do something different, start rolling out merchandise again. Which they actually killed off the Shield like 2 months into a babyface run, so they never really even got the merchandise train rolling there in the first place.
Hey, yeah, that was one of the other funny things about Reigns' interview with Jericho, is he said that he thought that it was probably a little bit early. The trigger on the Shield, and I feel like he's the first one to say that, honestly.
Yeah, but don't forget, he also followed it up with, people keep wanting the Shield to get back together, and he flat out said it ain't happening. So
does he make that decision?
well, it was funny listening to that, because it sure as hell seemed like the Shield had some pretty good pullback there, outside of splitting them up, apparently.
Well, I don't see them like outside of a temporary alliance kind of thing.
Yeah, they could do it. They could do it. They could be loosely associated again. Do one or two tag match, six man tags with the, with the whole entrance and everything, and roll out some reunion tour shirts or whatever the heck they want to do. It doesn't have to be anything for the long term, but I know we're just jumping around here, but
yeah,
Dean Ambrose is in a really, really bad spot right now.
How good was that match today, though?
What?
That match today was fun with him and Baron Corbin.
That was a fun match, but they didn't do something with them.
I guess I wasn't surprised by that, just because I've liked Corbin more recently. I like Ambrose most of the time. So A street fight would have made more sense for their match at WrestleMania, just because their feud was kind of down and dirty in a street fighting type thing. But they couldn't do that with the other, a no holds barred match, an unsanctioned match, a ladder match. They couldn't really give them anything like that on the WrestleMania card. So, and it's one way to keep Corbin and Ambrose feuding, I would think.
But tonight's win for Corbin seemed pretty, that was pretty definite.
I was surprised. I thought that was for the Intercontinental title.
Wait, it wasn't?
No. He just won. That's what they said. Your winner, Baron Corbin.
Are you sure?
I didn't hear them announce he was the new IC champion.
That was my exact reaction. I'm like,
title match.
He's the new IC champion, and then they never said IC champion.
Never noticed that. Oops.
Yeah.
I guess they do have some more life left in this.
Because I'm looking on WWE.com. Let's see. I'll just go to results. But yeah, I mean, unless JoJo messed up and they never grabbed the belt. I'm sorry, the title.
No, wow. Dang. Oh, I feel stupid.
Yeah, it was just a street fight.
Really? Wow.
Hey, yeah, so, yeah, that was a little weird. I don't know why you don't offer yourself up to be for the title if you're going to make yourself a match.
They mentioned something about Dean Ambrose just hates Baron Corbin that much. And if I'm Baron Corbin, I'd be like, well, why would I allow you to use all this stuff without putting your title on? I'm trying to figure out the logic of this. Unless it's like, when's their next pay-per-view? Is that in May?
Yeah, that's in mid-May.
Well,
and it looks like that's going to be headlined by the wackiest gimmick match of one of the wackiest gimmick matches of all time.
Yeah. That. I like Bray Wyatt. I know you guys aren't like that crazy about him. I think I like the potential, but what's this thing called? The House of Horrors match?
The House of Horrors.
Isn't that like Raven's gimmick? The House, like, what was it? Clockwork Orange House of Fun match? From the old TNA days?
Yeah, that was Raven, and then of course there was the WCW Chamber of Halloween Havoc Chamber of Horrors, where Abdullah the Butcher was electrocuted in an electric chair.
Well, let's not forget the TNA version. Remember the cage was electrified, so whenever they hit the cage, was it Dudley's and LAX? Or Team 3D in LAX, and whenever they would hit the cage, the lights would start, the blue lights would go off.
Oh my god.
I just, people were happy Bray Wyatt won the title, and then wasn't it his first defense he lost it?
It was second. I think they did a triple threat with Cena and Styles.
Okay.
Then from there, it just felt like he wasn't even champion. And the feud wasn't even about the title.
And then they did that weird ending before WrestleMania with Luke Harper, where Harper's going to do something, and Bray Wyatt looks at him. Harper stops, like, what was that? And then he gets hit with Sister Abigail. That never gets followed up on. Well, then tonight...
And it didn't get followed up on tonight at all.
No. And then tonight...
No, tonight... Yeah, go ahead.
Tonight, the lights go out, come back on, and Eric Rowan loses. Like, what the hell's going on? Why is this like the Undertaker's powers in reverse? Everything he does, like if he uses his goofy supernatural shit, it just doesn't work out, so he has to stop using it eventually? This doesn't make any sense. You don't do the lights out gimmick just to lose four or five seconds later. And it's seemingly doing a disservice to Bray Wyatt because look what happened to Rusev after a while. You keep losing, and you know, he's hurt now, but good God. Bray Wyatt going to start feuding with Curt Hawkins next? I mean, that's how far down it's going to go. I know it's an exaggeration, but still, it's just frustrating. It's weird.
I think the whole thing, well, you kind of mentioned it at kind of the start of the rant about potential. Bray Wyatt's been around the main roster at this point for too long to be paying on potential.
Yeah, it's three. He's been there at least three WrestleManias at least.
Yeah, three WrestleManias, going on 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just whenever it gets, you know, he gets the push and they really start going with him, they have to take things. I know it's not really fair when the Undertaker as a character has gotten away with anything, but with Bray Wyatt, there's just something that when they get too weird with his storyline, I think people mentally check out and just like, this is stupid, this is bullshit.
Yeah, because you guys were dogging that whole WrestleMania thing with the mat changing and all that.
Oh,
and I'm with you. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I thought the referee just got out of the ring just to get out of the way. I was like, oh, okay. And I kept saying, oh, Randy Orton's going to turn it around, and the last one's going to be snakes, and Bray's going to be scared of the snakes. That's what I was waiting for the time. And then, were those cockroaches or crickets? Cockroaches is way grosser than crickets are.
I think it was crickets though.
Because Meltzer's the same thing, and I'm like, I don't know.
I didn't care at that point.
Yeah, true. Sorry. Much ado about nothing.
Like, well, that's how I was just like, what is this weird bullshit going on? Like, again, like I think that that type of gimmick has a place, but I mean, the other part of your argument was comparing him to Rusev, and I think you're right. Like, he won a couple of big feuds, like Ambrose and something else, but he's kind of lost the majority of his feuds, and then every time it seems like he's going in a good direction, something weird happens. Like, the Wyatt family was finally starting to establish dominance, and then in one of these roster shakeups, you know, I think they got sent different places.
No, they lost Braun Strowman. Really, oh. What happened? And then, well,
was it Harper Roman was on still Raw? Injured. Was what? It Rowan on Raw as well?
No. Rowan was on SmackDown. Harper was still injured when they did the draft. He didn't come back to Harper.
Okay.
Back
right.
Till No Mercy in October.
Yeah.
Rowan stayed on SmackDown, but right. You know, Bray Wyatt was just Eric Rowan. Who cares? And then Rowan got injured, and then they did the whole. Then they brought back Harper. Then they did the whole Randy Orton infiltrates the Wyatt family story.
Okay. I don't know. I was hoping Luke Harper was going to turn on Orton and put them back together or something.
Yeah,
at least that would explain last week.
Yeah, if you're not going to do anything with Harper or Rowan individually, I guess just put them back with Bray Wyatt. Just keep that cycle going, which, you know, it's part of what hurts all of them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes every once in a while, someone gets the idea that, okay, they've been together too long, let's break them up. Then they don't do anything with, you know, Harper and Rowan, and then Bray doesn't quite get to the tippy top, and they go, oh, well, let's put them back together again. Yeah, it's been rough for Bray Wyatt. You know, I've had my issues with him. I feel like his promos have gotten, you know, are too, I use the phrase art house, and it's right. You know, but when they're focused, they are better. You know, I think they, after the amusement of the house burning angle wore off, and they just did the you know, the next two or three weeks worth of angles, it really was like really eye rolling stuff. And it was especially, it was even especially eye rolling because of how little Randy Orton would sell all of it. Randy Orton is a terrible actor.
I was surprised how little Randy Orton's over right now.
Yeah.
That really surprised me. I mean, WrestleMania, I don't think it was his fault, because that Triple H Rollins match just killed the show. And after that, I mean, Orton's always done the get up stuff for the crowd. It's never enough for him, so that's nothing new. But I mean, as soon as he came out tonight, he was doing the same thing, because his music didn't get a big reaction. So.
I think just because it's still kind of weird to cheer for him.
Well, when he came back, Randy Orton was acting like he wasn't acting like himself. Remember, he was smiling, he was cutting jokes on Jericho, or cutting jokes with Jericho, however you want to look at it. He was just doing something different, and it was like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. You know, it's the old veteran coming back after a year off. I'm going to have some fun. Okay, this is a different Randy Orton than we've seen. And then what happens? Gets his ass beat by Brock Lesnar and goes right back to the same stuff. And no one really bought into him joining Bray Wyatt's group. And I think that, as much as I tried to do the long play with it, it was kind of insulting to the audience. Like, we know this isn't real. So, why are we dragging this stuff out? But, you know, hindsight now, but
I mean, both of those guys, you know, they're in a bad spot, and they're at the top of the card. Like,
at this point, the only solution is fuck it, just go crazy, just for the next 6 weeks, go nuts, create the most ridiculous match ever, I mean, that's where we're at right here. You know what? It's TV to get high to, or TV to get drunk to. The TNA special. The TNA Impact special.
See, and that's, like, when Eric was on, he was talking about, like, you know, guys getting thrown through cars, guy getting run over with forklifts. SmackDown doesn't do that stuff. So it's almost like the supernatural stuff doesn't work anymore, because it's... I mean, maybe it could, but this isn't working. And having a goofy-ass match like this, I think the crowd's going to dump all over that, too. But it's kind of like, you know, after you jump off a bridge, well, if you forgot your chute, you're screwed. And that's kind of where it is right now. So might as well just start flailing those arms all over the place and see what happens. So if I don't disagree with you in that case, like, jump off of, I don't know. I was expecting them to say Hell in a Cell, but.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was expecting some important match, because I was sitting there, I'm like, I think SmackDown got Hell in a Cell.
No, Raw did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Raw got Hell in a Cell. Raw gets Hell in a Cell again, I believe, yeah.
They get
TLC. SmackDown gets Money in the Bank and TLC, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's, I don't know, that was just weird, and especially with, okay, and I know we're really discussing SmackDown a lot, but it's fresh, so, is AJ Styles now a babyface? Or they finally said, to hell with it, we're just let the crowd cheer for him?
I guess so.
I'm not complaining, I thought that was good.
You could do the Roman Reigns thing, where he could essentially wrestle anybody, and just, you let the crowd do whatever they want.
Which they've been cheering him, so it's like, all right, we give in.
Yeah, it's once again.
Yeah, I didn't see it as an overly babyface thing to do, but I mean, I guess he did just come out and shake his hand and move along.
Yeah, so. And even the like fake punch at the end, he gave him like a little wink, and then dropped out of the ring. Like, I'm just screwing with you. That's how I took it, at least. So. And then him yelling at Shane, saying, this is my house, or I built this, I'm not leaving, that sort of stuff. So, and I told the wife this, I was like, I wonder if they're moving AJ Styles to Raw. And that's the storyline. He doesn't want to leave SmackDown, and they're going to try and drag him to Raw.
Oh my God, if they could build this into him being resentful of Kurt Angle, that's right. They wrestled a million times at TNA. Never mind.
Yeah, it was good too. So that's fine.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. That's fine. But I was like, I was thinking about the first is Boston. They're there. So they're there for a second, I'm like, is that a match that's ever happened before? Oh, that's right.
Well,
yeah.
Didn't Angle even say he wanted his stuff with AJ Styles to be more prominently out there? Well, what better way to do that than to start all over again?
Yeah, you could do that. You absolutely could do that. Yeah, that's. Yeah, no, that'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, the fantasy book, it'd have him go to Raw and be like, I don't want to do this. Challenge Kurt Angle. If he beats Angle, he gets to go back to SmackDown or something. I don't know. I don't know if they would want
I don't think they'll put Angle in the ring before SummerSlam, but yeah. You could build something.
Yeah, but no, it's...
But then again, if Brock Lesnar's not working the next two or three Raw exclusive pay-per-views, holy shit, without... I know it'd be the same roster with or without the title, but as a, you know, a prop or the, you know, the holy grail to not have that on the show when in a split roster world.
Yeah,
maybe these shows do need something extra.
Yeah, that I would hope, and that's, of course, it's all speculation. I would hope if AJ Styles does get moved to Raw, they got to give SmackDown something big, or a couple big guys. I mean. Sami Zayn's not doing anything. He should go. Rusev should go. I mean,
well, Sami Zayn's not going to make the biggest. He'd be better off. But it's you need a big boy. You need something. Obviously, it won't be Roman Reigns.
No.
Who could they throw over there?
Yeah,
because
I was
who? Now I'm just. Never mind. Just running down. I was running down names. That's just bad audio.
I guess the one thing I was wondering about. I found it a little strange that they announced the shakeup, but they had a bunch of prominent debuts this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
on both shows. It's just like, especially if you were SmackDown Live, why would you debut someone if you know you might get rid of them? Like, just keep them signed and, like, stashed away for another week. Like, that seemed a little odd to me.
Right.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, yeah. I was thinking the same thing last night, and SmackDown's the only one that's broached the subject of, you know, the superstar shakeup. I mean, when Ty Dillinger debuted, after the match, JBL says, "This guy's awesome. I hope we get to keep him." I mean, unless they just wanted to stagger the debuts and were like, "The hell with it, we'll figure it out." I mean, it'd be convenient if no one gets drafted, though.
I guess that was the other thing about the Styles and Shane McMahon segment, is that I'm like, he came out to address the roster shakeup, and then nothing got said about it.
Because they probably don't know how this is going to work yet. Is it going to be a draw, or are they going to pick? Are we going to do that stupid thing where we have, like, the Price is Right wheel spinning, and then it lands on someone's face?
Random people get pulled.
Random draw thing. They probably haven't figured out, is it going to be just a series of trades, because they haven't used the word draft.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's one of those... Even though there is a draft in every sport, like, it just always seems so asinine to me that either A, they don't do anything any other time of the year. But, you know, there isn't really any pipeline to draft from. You're only drafting between each brand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because there's really nobody except, well, Bobby Roode, I suppose, but there's really not a lot in NXT you'd want to grab anyways. So, and they made a point of saying it was, I mean, I know Asuka, but come on, she ain't coming up yet. And
no.
They made a point of saying it was just SmackDown and Raw.
Yeah. So this is not the massive draft like last year. This is something, you know, maybe 10 key acts get switched around or something of that nature.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably going to end up being way too generous. It's going to be like four guys. Like, it just, because even like the draft, when they do the drafts in the past, we're like, oh my God, it's going to be so great. You're like, oh, they just switched six guys. Okay. And it was Spike Dudley for Nunzio. Or what is his name? Little Guido was Nunzio, right?
Well, there was the one year where it was John Cena for Batista.
Yeah.
And that did shake things. So yeah, it'll be a couple of, you know, you'll have a couple of, you know, main event level guys. Both women's rosters need to be shut up. Especially the, you know, the Raw women all wrestling each other over and over again. SmackDown needs a completely revamped tag team division.
How about you just need a tag team division?
Oh, well, I was going to say that, but I just had a little nicer.
Well, I mentioned to Shahid last night, the way they were treating Enzo and Cass, I almost see them going to SmackDown.
That would be something to do. I mean, it makes sense with the current champions being heels, if they've cooled on American Alpha that much.
Okay, from that, warm on American Alpha? Because even as tag champions, do you remember how many times they were on TV? I mean, that's a weird one to me. It's almost, I mean, you know, it always turns into, well, do they have heat with somebody? But it's like, what happened?
SmackDown gets talked about as being the better brand, but wow, they have really, like, American Alpha has gotten no mic time. The Usos, no mic time. I don't need them doing the opening segment for 10 to 15 minutes, but they need something, man.
Yeah, well, they give the talk time on Talking Smack. But I don't know how widely viewed that show is, so...
And that's part of my problem, is I still don't watch that.
Dude, that's a fun... You don't even have to watch it, just listen to it. And it's fun. And It's actually noteworthy. Unlike what was that thing Raw Talk last night? That drivel outside of the Goldberg announcement.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing to Raw Talk. It's not the same thing.
Well, stupid, you know, Renee kept interrupting Jerry Lawler last night. He was talking to Bayley about, well, you know, now that you're champion, you know, you're here, you're no longer the under. It was one of those veteran to, I don't know, I guess rookie. She hasn't been in WWE main roster for a year yet. So you're having one of those, like, veteran, legends, whatever, talking, and Renee just butts her ass in, say, well, but you'd have did it, and you see Lawler's like, what are you doing? Shut up. And I'm usually a big fan of Renee, but she just kept going, and I'm sure they're probably telling her something in her ear as well. But it's like, butt out, man. I wanted to hear what he was telling her. And then they never went back to it. So, just frustrating. But, because you hear about all those stories, how veterans, like, did you guys listen to another Jericho one? Just in the Haku on Jericho's podcast?
Yes, I did. That was a good time.
I was already a fan of him anyways, but just knowing that, what was the one story about how his payment for the night went to replacing the window of a storefront? And Jericho goes, wait a minute, what? And he was like, well, you know, we were out drinking, guy got thrown through the window, and, you know, I had to pay for it. And he's like, oh, wait a minute, what? And Haku's just brushing it aside like, no. And you know how many stories they probably have like that. So those are interesting. Like, that's stuff you don't get. So when Lawler starts doing this, anyways. So, yeah, talking smack's good. Raw talk, whatever. But, so, I know, so, I know I totally derailed that, but...
Well, no, I guess we'd started back at the, really, it all kind of leaped off of the shakeup, not knowing what the hell they're going to do, and so they didn't do anything on SmackDown about it. But, I guess that was the overall other thing. Like, as much as I liked Nakamura's entrance there on SmackDown got hosed, man. For the debuts, they got hosed.
Okay, so I know where you want to go, but can we first do the positive? That Miz segment that led to Nakamura was really good. Again, it was annoying. The crowd was kind of laughing, but Miz still nailed it. I don't get how Maryse does that to her face, because that looked major uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, there's a black dude with a violin in the middle of the ramp, and I'm like, wait a second. And he starts playing, and I honestly thought it was a tease. And then he was just going to walk off, and they'd be like, what was that about? You know, tease Nakamura coming? And then when it went dark and his name popped across the screen, I popped big. Because he needed to be on SmackDown, and they made the right choice and put him on SmackDown.
For now.
Yeah.
No, but I think he'll still... Yeah, I think he'll be a SmackDown guy, yeah. And they could do something with it. They could do something with him and Miz as the first guy that Nakamura beats.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, how low you want to go with people that Nakamura can just knock around, and the Miz obviously needs something to do because. Yep. This segment well pointed out John Cena is not going to be around to have a singles match at the next pay-per-view.
I mean, you do have, we've talked about it, over 50% of the audience probably still has no idea who this man is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that they felt the energy. I'm intrigued. And Nakamura does still speak, only speak broken English, so use Miz to make the mass audience care about him. Run down, say, I don't care how many matches, how many titles you won over in Japan, it doesn't matter. You're in the WWE, you're in the WWE now, everything. You know, you're the, you know, internet darling, and, you know, just all the stuff he's been doing for since he went off on Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack last summer.
See, what's funny is Nakamura, I think, speaks better English than they allow him to. Because it always seems like that scripted stuff he struggles with in the ring. And with memorization, you know, the enunciation part, just trying to get it down. But when they do those they did the backstage thing, or not backstage, but like sit down, the video packages with him and Finn Balor, and he's just talking about Finn. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't talking like the three of us are, but it was still pretty easy to understand. He was talking just regular sentence, you know, grammatically talking the way he's supposed to. But then when he gets in the ring, it's almost like that's his character in the ring, to talk low like that, to try and, I don't know, you know, that whole stigma of whenever someone's from another country, you just talk in your language really slow to them to trying to get them to understand. Where is the bathroom? Okay? Okay, whatever. But, no, and that was one of the points, which the benefit makes the show when we started, that I think this crowd was still more WrestleMania people than locals, because that crowd was pretty into it when the lights went out and he came down. So maybe not like Raw intensity, but it was still pretty loud. So it's just a matter of where they go from there. But I really thought it was a tease, so that was pretty sweet when it actually happened, just for the fact they got it right. And now we can get to the other one, unless you guys want more to say about him.
No, there's nothing more to say. Like, I mean, they could move from the Miz. Like, they don't necessarily need to have that match, but yeah. I wouldn't know why you'd interrupt the Miz if you're not going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only thing left that I got for that.
No, Miz didn't stay and fight because He's the Miz. He's a coward at heart. And then next week he'll start running down Nakamura and running him down. Again, Miz can heat up anything. And it's not like he has nothing to work. It's not like he has nothing to work with here. It's a great first feud for Nakamura.
Yeah, it'll be good to get him established too. And yeah, you're right, but. All right, and we've talked to each other, and you guys mentioned on your WrestleMania preview, or review, I guess, or was it the NXT? one of the audios, and I've talked to you guys off-air about this, and Shahid, I don't get Ty Dillinger.
Oh, I don't get him either.
I don't get why he's so popular. He seems like he's fine, but he's not exactly the most interesting guy. Yeah, exactly. He's not the most interesting guy to look at.
He's decent at best in the ring. He's doesn't have a great look. He's as our dear friend Steve Williams from Kentucky said, he's been in developmental in and out for about 11 years. He started in developmental as a tag team partner of Cody Rhodes. Wow. When Cody Rhodes was still in developmental. Think about how long that's been.
That seems impossible.
Oh my god.
I think he was there for a while. He was in OVW for a while. I think he got released and maybe brought back before NXT. I don't know. I can Wikipedia.
I don't think you're wrong, because Drew Galloway mentioned that he met him 10 years, that he met Ty Dillinger 10 years ago.
Yeah, wow. And I think he had a cup of coffee under a previous name in the ECW brand. I don't think he ever made it to past that, though.
Yeah, because his name's Sean Spears. So
Sean Spears, yeah. Maybe Sean Spears made it to SmackDown. There was that revolving door of tag teams that came in and wrestled London and Kendrick like every other month. So maybe he was in one of those. I don't even remember.
Yeah,
you need to get back and watch the archives now.
Yes,
just
to
figure out where he was.
let's Wikipedia this shit.
But yeah,
in the meantime, yeah, if that's what you wanted to get to, yeah, I said it on Twitter when he came out. I'm like, oh, because yeah, SmackDown got quote unquote Eric Rowan, which is okay, but again, that gimmick is almost sailed. Ty Dillinger and Nakamura.
So far.
So far. They definitely need to, they could help out that brand in general. Like, it did look like they're behind Dillinger, at least for the time being. He got a fairly quick win over Curt Hawkins, which, you know, if you're going to push him, I don't know, we've mentioned it a lot, it's matter. Like, you know, you can't be losing all the time. And for someone debuting, a win is always a good thing, and a fairly quick one, too.
Okay. He went from OVW. He started in OVW in 2006. He went from OVW, then he was one of the guys who went in the FCW, you know, transfer. Then he had a run in a very small run in ECW. Like he was still doing mostly in FCW at the time. He was released in May of 2009, and then was brought back to NXT in the Performance Center in 2013, and spent 4 years on the independent circuit in between. But yeah. That's a long ass journey, and it's not like the same as an AJ Styles Samoa Joe journey. I mean, he literally did nothing of note other than win like an OVW Tag Team Championship and a Florida Tag Team Championship.
So yeah, I don't get it. If he's, I mean, this isn't a personal thing. I just don't understand. Unless this is all right, we're tossing you in. And, you know,
well,
sink or swim time?
I guess so. He's 36 years old and done nothing. I mean, I hate putting it like that, but it is what it is.
All the boys, like, you know, whenever they mention it, he's always one of those names, like, why isn't he up yet? So, yeah.
But, you know, once again, he's got a shot here. I mean, prove us wrong, I guess. I know it's almost funny that I made the reference. I'm like, was this the first match he's won all year? Because I don't know if he's even had any squashes in NXT. He's just been getting beat by Sanity.
No, well, this year maybe once, and then Sanity came out.
Maybe.
But I know before he had that losing streak. Like he had some impressive win, and then all of a sudden started losing, and he had the whole thing was like, oh no, maybe not. Because that ties into Eric Young coming out, and then they had TakeOver San Antonio. Then Eric Young beat him there. Yeah, you may be onto something there. I'm sure some nerds got a rundown of every wrestler's win-loss for the year, but regardless, if you can't remember him winning, there's a problem, too. So I just don't see... Honestly, seems to be he'd be like more of a Curt Hawkins than, you know, the next big thing or whatever. And not that I'm expecting him to be like a main event guy, but like the Curt Hawkins thing confuses me because I thought he was doing fairly well on independent scene, and he signed with WWE, and I can't imagine his booking fees are going to be higher once they release him because he hasn't exactly won a match?
Yeah. No, he has not.
And I don't know where the brainchild of his gimmick came from, but it's not good. Facing the facts is not...
Well,
unless you make it Matt Facts 2.0, it's not a good thing.
I mean, besides the obvious Chuck Norris rip, but, you know, it's like, oh boy. I thought it would have been fun, but they barely used him. So it almost seems like SmackDown should be a 3-hour show. And I know, we don't need another hour longer, but...
Absolutely not.
With the talent they don't use week to week, I mean, where were the Usos? No American Alpha. Well,
I think that's one of the reasons why talking smack is more important than Raw. Like, Raw has enough time to put on all their people, so an extra hour really doesn't do you a whole lot of good.
Right.
But for SmackDown, since they don't have that third hour, they need it to get people over. But again, problem is, even if their viewing numbers or subscribers are correct, like I think it moved up to 1.6 or close to 1.7 million there, that's still half of your TV audience.
About. No. Well, for us talking smack? Talking smack may not be watched by 100,000 people. Or what are you talking about?
Oh, I'm just saying that at maximum, talking smack gets 1.7 million, just to make it easy.
Oh, I see what you're talking. How you're talking? Yeah.
At most, they get half. The network has half of what the. Well, cable.
If you're looking at it like that, then Raw has the potential audience of 100 million.
Huh.
Yeah,
or 80 some million, or whatever it is that, you know, we're talking about the full potential reach of the medium. Then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I guess my point is that not all of those people are going to watch Talking Smack.
No, that supplemental programming on the network, I mean, it's, some of it probably does less than 100,000.
It just isn't, well, to Jeremy's point, it isn't the same thing as TV time. Like, it's, even though it is more important and, you know, maybe I should start listening to it, it's still not the same because it just is not, it doesn't do you as much good if it isn't on TV, period.
Yeah, I know that WWE uses a lot of their time promoting social media. So I'm going to make sure I got all the words in the correct order. And it's like, you know, Xavier Woods has got 1 million followers and their subscribers. Doesn't mean that everyone watches, but, you know, they put the videos up, they get thousands of hits. And it's like, well, that's fine and dandy, but those people may not be watching too. But I guess that's like an easy way to find it again, but I still think if it's on your main show, people are going to see it. I mean, they have to if they're watching, whereas, you know, Talking Smack, you got to bring up the app. Like, you've got the app, you don't watch them, you know, and we talk wrestling all the time, you know? So if someone who does something like this doesn't watch, imagine the schmo that's like, oh my god, I just sat through 7 hours of WrestleMania, now 3 hours of Raw. Nah, I'm not going to go on my computer or the app and go and find more videos to watch. I'm exhausted. You know, I got other shit to watch. So, you know, and I think, and especially with Talking Smack, there was even a part a couple weeks ago where American Alpha were in Chad Gable's hometown. They weren't even on SmackDown. And the only reason he knew it was his hometown is because Talking Smack was on. And he's like, yeah, it would have been good to be on the card tonight. I was like, that's some harsh stuff right there.
Well, and I remember he got a jersey from the Minnesota Wild. Like, I just saw it on his Twitter feed. I saw more about him being his hometown.
Yeah, so...
Went on.
I'm not sure how he diverted to this, but yeah, it's just... I don't know. Oh, yeah, and that's why I said it almost to me seems like they could use another hour. Because to the credit of SmackDown, though, that show, it was 9 o'clock, and I thought it was... I thought that show had been on like 15, 20 minutes. It had flowed that quickly and was actually that entertaining that it flew by for me, at least. So, I'm sure they'll probably slow down with 3 hours, but, you know, they keep their talking segments short, and then they go on with action. So, it's like, how can you complain? So, but then, who did Raw get? Did you list them?
They got the Revival. They technically got Finn Balor back.
Yeah.
Well, they got it back. That's not a debut.
Yeah, it's not a debut, but it does weigh, in my opinion, fairly evenly with Nakamura going to SmackDown. And I'm trying to think of who the other debuting side was, and now I'm going to have to go to the Almost Live blog to check it out.
Is that it? Well, because people came back.
And I guess that's the other thing that I'm kind of counting Matt and Jeff Hardy being on Raw now. Yeah. But, I mean, they came back at WrestleMania, but I guess that isn't technically a debut.
We'll count it. I get where you're going all this, but yeah, I mean that was a big one. That was a big one. I mean that, you know, Raw's tag team division, if it stays intact, has the potential to be really great. But of course, that means leaving SmackDowns to Raw.
Yeah,
and I don't think they'll completely do that. I think. You know, I could see, once again, I could see Enzo and Cass being the odd team out now that, you know, you got, you know, the Hardys as tag champs, they got, you know, Seamus Cesaro to work with. Even though it's two babyface teams, you know, they got, you know, the New Day, you know, they were calling out the New Day for, you know, almost a year, basically. So, you know, that's to go with. If the Hardys win their lawsuit, you get through the whole... You can break them all over again.
I can't believe you guys haven't mentioned the other returning person.
I forget now.
How dare you?
Kurt Angle?
No.
Stop Ali.
No, he never went anywhere. Are you guys being serious?
I don't remember
Vince
now.
McMahon.
It's been over a year. There's been vignettes every week.
Oh, Emma?
And finally Emma shows up, dances on the table. Comes down to the ring and does her thing for a little bit and then just breaks out of Dodge.
That six-woman tag did not do anyone any favors, really.
And I just thought that was too bad because... I like Emma. I liked when she was goofy Emma. I like this little space-age police bitch. She's great. So
yeah, she is great. And I think that they could go somewhere with her. She could be a new feud for Bayley. But yeah, that match just wasn't. No one really got a great chance to shine. The parts where Nia Jax was in with Dana Brooke were absolutely hideous. Although thankfully that was kept short.
So, what I was confused by was, I guess they don't want Emma being on, or they wanted Emma there, but she seems like that would be a good place to go would be SmackDown. She can be there for Bayley, but that doesn't seem to be what's going to happen. Unless they're moving Charlotte over to SmackDown. It would make sense.
I was thinking that. She gets beat at WrestleMania. She gets beat on Raw. She gets beat down after the match. Yeah, that's one of that came off like a farewell, or at least it could be.
Yeah,
unless her and Nia Jax are actually gonna have a formal feud in front of them one baby face, but I don't think so.
I mean, it's their own fault for this, but Charlotte's got nothing to do now.
Yeah, no. No, no, she could... Yeah, send her over to SmackDown and have her do it all over again. That's, you know, something you could do with... You could do it with the New Day if you wanted to. You know, have their... You know, just change the scenery. Have them do it all over again. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I'll sit there in a feud with Revival, whether or not, you know, not sure whether, you know, Kofi Kingston is really, there's really an injury to Kofi that's not going to put him out of action for any time.
I'm wondering, but, I think Meltzer mentioned that too, and I'm wondering if he is hurt or has been hurt, which is one of the reasons they haven't been doing anything with him. Maybe they just don't have anything for him to do, but that would kind of explain it, even though there's, you know, I know there's two others, but then you didn't really want to put Xavier out in front of a crowd for a week or two there. And then by then it was WrestleMania. So, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, every time I see Woods wrestle, I think he's good. So I don't quite understand. Like, he's not one of those guys that I feel like he's, like Enzo, we were just talking about, where everyone was worried that he was going to die in the ladders match. I guess I've never felt like Xavier Woods has been that out of control or that bad.
No, he's not that bad. He's
kind of confusing because the WWE doesn't seem to show him any faith whatsoever inside of the ring.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, Kofi's so good and Big E's good and he's, you know, he's a big guy, and it, you know, 9 times out of 10, other than the angle they ran, you know, over the summer, it's gonna be Big E in the ring with one of them. And Kofi's the better worker. So it's usually Big E and Kofi. I mean, Xavier Woods is fine in the ring. It's just he's not as good as Kofi.
Which is actually saying
something
really mean. I'm not a Kofi fan. So when you say Xavier, he's just not as good as Kofi. It's like, oh god, oh my god, poor
Xavier. Okay.
Oh my god.
You can work through your own issues there.
I know Kevin's like, he still hates him. He still doesn't like Kofi. It's not that I hate him anymore. He's still just not my favorite. So,
I mean, he can still be that way, but I think it's pretty obvious. They do seem to limit their matches more when Kofi has been injured recently. And, I mean, Woods, to me, doesn't get as much ring time as Kingston does when it is a New Day matchup. Like, it's... For whatever reason, they have more faith in Kofi than.
Yeah, he's been around a long time too. He's probably been around as long as Ty Dillinger has.
Yeah, Woods has been in there.
Woods had a run in
TNA. He was on Spike TV. He was on pay per views, and then WWE signed him and kept him in developmental for years and years and years. It was kind of a weird deal that this guy who's already been on national TV was seen as that much of a project in the ring, but yeah, I mean, he hasn't had a lot of ring time. He probably had more ring time back in developmental when he was tag teaming with Brad Maddox.
Wait! I didn't know this.
I think they were tag team partners in FCW and partners and champions.
Are you okay?
I think they were partners. I believe.
Oh boy! You guys talk. I'm gonna do some investigating.
Yeah, you can do that. That's well,
Oh, man.
They were double team specialists.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was always weird that Woods was that much of a project. I agree. I guess I don't understand what they see that we're missing. Like, there are just times where I just want to go, what am I missing here? Can you just fill me in? Because even with Enzo, like, again, to go back to him, his in-ring problems definitely bigger than Woods. And Woods is, I guess he hasn't come up with the catchphrases that Enzo has, but he's still an awesome talker. So I'm not sure just on the mouth skills alone he didn't get called up earlier for... What?
I'm still looking up Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox, and all of a sudden I hear you go, oh, the mouth skills. I was like, how do you know I'm still looking at this stuff? Yeah. Was it FCW? This shouldn't pull up anything different. Sorry, Kev. Go back to what you're saying. I'm still investigating.
No, I guess I'm just confused how Woods didn't get up earlier and how they still continue to show him honestly less faith than pretty much Enzo.
Well, that's
despite the track record.
It's the tag team championships. There's not a six man tag team division. Even the Shield didn't do exclusively six man tag team champions for a year and a half. Excuse me, six man tag team matches for a year and a half. I think it's
that. And I guess that was my other point, or gonna be my other point, is that Woods being seen is at least as good as Kofi Kingston would only benefit their team. Like you said, like Big E is always gonna be in the match because he's Big E. Like, how do you leave that guy out of the match? So I guess I thought it'd make them look more dangerous if he were at least viewed as competent or, you know, something of the equal of Kofi. But they've made it pretty clear that he is the third in the pecking order ring-wise.
Right.
So...
All right, so I'm not seeing anything about them being actually legitimate, a legit tag team.
Oh man, yeah. I thought.
No, it was Maddox and Rick Victor. So, but I did find out some interesting stuff about Xavier Woods and Paige and all that stuff. So, okay, yeah, I know it's totally derailing things, but has anyone else realized how quickly that got blown over? Like, all that stuff with them, but it was out there for a week, week and a half, and then nothing. No one cared anymore.
Yeah, they're getting married, and everyone's moving along with life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, okay. So that's why I thought WWE did pretty good by it. Don't mention it. Don't say anything. Don't apologize. Nothing. And it goes right away. Maybe more people should learn from this. So
yeah.
Not that she did anything wrong, mind you, except be awesome, but, you know.
I don't know. We go back to the tag team and note that the Revival did in fact beat New Day.
Clean.
Because that was fun. Yeah, that was one where I'm like, oh my god, are they going to have the Revival lose in their first match?
I was thinking the same thing.
And then they won. I was like, oh, holy shit.
Convincingly, too, and then injures Kofi after it. So I thought it was weird they appeared on Raw when they clearly Raw doesn't need them.
Oh,
and that's,
well,
that's the only reason I'm saying Enzo and Cass are going to move, or... Hell, maybe even the club.
Oh.
You know?
Well, and it would make sense. This is a situation where I know it's giving them credit because they're debuting the Raw after WrestleMania, but if you're going to have them do something that heelish, it's probably best to save that for a crowd that isn't going to cheer them like crazy.
True, but they also booed him pretty good when they did that to Kofi, though.
Yeah, they did. They did get the crowd against them. So, you know, they're good heels, and you want to debut them in front of that Raw crowd that knows who they are, and hope that kind of translates to the the audience at home, although they do need, they need mic time, they need video time, which has been lacking with some of the NXT call-ups, and has hurt them in the long run. So hopefully they do right by the revival here.
I hope so. I think it's going to be a little tough, though. They, I don't know, they looked small against New Day, but, you know, I guess we'll see. They've got the talent to get over, as long as everyone gets out of their way and lets them do it. So,
yeah, and I mean, their thing is kind of, it's not a babyface overcoming the odds type thing, but, you know, they always seem to be outsmarting their opponents rather than, you know, kind of brawling them or something like that. So I think that that part can translate pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess it also keeps them away from American Alpha as well. So, because you don't want SmackDown to be a repeat of NXT, basically. So, I mean, I guess you could, but you don't want it to be. So.
Yeah, I think that we're going to get that somewhat frequently, though. I mean, we've already seen that anyway with all the ladies. Yeah. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Granted, that was a continuation from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that that's kind of here to stay. Now, whether they're both on the same brand at the end of the shakeup or not will obviously be determined. But, yeah. It's a real possibility. It would be nice if they laid off of it for, you know, at least a year before that that popped up the next shakeup.
I have no idea how long we've been going. I know we've missed a bunch, but this is the time of year where, like, wrestling's at its peak. Whether it's here, especially here, but for just WWE wrestling, we'll just take it with that. Because I don't have Pop TV anymore, so whatever TNA is, Impact Wrestling now, they don't really exist for me. This is also the point where things start to slide again. Last year, it took a little bit, but it finally started to, and it kind of narrowed or evened itself out halfway down the slide. Because there have been some years where, holy crap, it was unwatchable. Are we thinking the same possibility can happen now, or is there just too much talent on both of these shows for that to happen? I mean, even despite the stories, that the talent's going to keep you, you know, wound in.
I mean, as long as they give a chance to whoever's there, I think that they have the talent to keep it up. You know, honestly, like, Raw wasn't that bad off missing Finn Balor for 9 months. Would it have been better if he would have been on there? Yeah. But, you know, they also kept on moving along pretty well in the meantime.
Yeah, they adjusted on the fly. I mean, got Kevin Owens. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
I think the talent's there. I obviously the talent's there. They got a great talent pool to work with. Talent that we should have fun with. They're going to shake things up and move some people around. Hopefully just break up some of the staleness in some of the divisions. And, you know, maybe move around some top talent. But, you know, stories have to be, you know, at least somewhat on point. You know, during Mania season, they cooled it kind of with the pay-per-views, although there was still two between the Rumble and WrestleMania. But we're going back to, you know, two pay-per-views in a calendar month. You know, every month until SummerSlam. Plus 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown.
Well, this, Justin, do you want a spoiler for 205 Live?
Yeah, so what? That's all right. Go ahead.
This is a shocking one to me. From NXT, Oney Lorcan is now on 205 Live.
Wow, I'm just I'm shook with that news.
Well, I have nowhere to go with this because it's going to sound like it being a dick, but I honestly thought he was just an enhancement guy down there.
I've never seen it. I haven't seen enough of him to be that impressed.
That's what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah, but then again, the majority of 205 Live were just picked from kind of out of nowhere, or various promotions all over the world, and just thrown onto this new show. So,
but does 205 Live really need somebody new? You barely see the guys that are in it anyways.
Right. No. You really didn't need... You don't really need a new... Yeah. It's a...
Yeah.
I guess good for him, but I haven't...
Yeah, I liked his match with Almas a couple of weeks ago on NXT. But, yeah, I mean, I was joking when he was in that match, though, whether he was... more boring or Drew Gulak was. So, that's not really a good spot to be in my opinion. Like, he just kind of has a plain look. Like, I really like him as a wrestler, but, you still need something else outside of just being a good wrestler.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden the UK guys showed up on 205 Live as well.
Which one?
Let's see. Trent Seven, Tyler Batt, Mandrews. I'm sorry. What's his real name? Mark Andrews, right?
Wasn't Trent Seven a bigger dude?
No.
Yeah.
No. He was the guy with the mustache. He wasn't that big. Wolfgang.
Yeah, Wolfgang is the big one.
Yeah, he's on 205 Live. This is from WWE's account. And then and Pete Dunne as well.
Okay,
maybe they just showed up and were like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" But wait a minute, Drew Gulak is campaigning for a conservative smack. What
are they doing? Are they going to do like an invasion angle? That might be actually. I think that'll be interesting. Huh.
Alright. It'll make me watch 205 Live, because I like Pete Dunne a lot, so I don't have much of an opinion on the other guys. Mark Andrews was always good, but TNA, whatever. So.
Oh, yeah. That tournament was all I needed to change my mind about Mandrews. Like, I made fun of him his entire TNA run. They give him one run in the WWE in a tournament, and I completely turn about face.
Yeah, apparently he was really good in New Japan. Just I don't watch that, so I don't know. So cool. This show was all over the place, but now it's time for it to be all over. So I just looked at the time, looked how long we've been going, and I gotta get going. So. I'll check out first, because I can't wait to hear Chris's awesome ending. Thanks for listening, guys. We watch stuff will be posted tomorrow, sometime late, Shahid and I. We get to talk about Ghost in the Shell. We get to talk about Marvel Comics stating how people don't like diversity, which is why their books don't sell. That's going to be a fun conversation, to call them out on that bullshit. And I'm going to go over some WrestleMania stuff that we didn't get a chance to go over yet. So keep an eye out for that. I'm out of here. Thanks, guys.
That was that Grand Maze. I'm at Frango 11. On the other end is that Chris Calamita, the brand, that Stunt Granny. Sippy Time Beer of the Night, or Bell Time Beer of the Night, was Stunt Granny Brewing's own Hefeweizen with cinnamon. It was enjoyed, even though it's probably been cellaring for entirely too long. That's it. I finally am not doing a podcast tomorrow. Maybe Thursday for Opa. We'll find out.
This is the fifth time I've been on a show in the last week or so. It's been fun. the Stunt Granny WrestleMania podcast-a-palooza. Hope you've all enjoyed it. We're going to get back to our irregular schedule very soon. See you guys.